Our scripture this morning is Psalms 123. It's not a very long chapter. So instead of one or two verses, I just chose the whole thing. I lift up my eyes to you, who sits enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of female slaves look to the hands of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord, our God, till he shows his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have of ridicule from Arjun, of contempt and of the proud. So this morning's sermon is, who do you look up to, who do you look forward to, and who do you chase? So I was on Facebook one day, and I was looking, and in my feed on Facebook, there was a little video of the actor Matthew McConaughey accepting a Golden Globe or Academy Award or some award. And he gets up there and he thanks the producers and he thanks, you know, a couple other people. And then he says this. He said, I believe that everybody needs three things in life. And he says, somebody to look up to, somebody to look forward to, and somebody to chase. And for him, he said, the person I look up to is God the Father Almighty. I believe that. That's who I look up to. Then he said, the person or people I look forward to is family. We just got through talking about family coming in for the holidays. And I'll agree. I look forward to seeing my daughter, my stepchildren, my wife, my aunts and uncles that are still around. I look forward to that family. And then he says, everybody needs somebody to chase. And he said, I chase the person that I'm going to be in 5 years. And it got me to thinking, what do you mean? Well, he wants to be a better person. He's chasing to be a better person. Who he's going to be. So it got me to thinking, who I chase. There's four men in my life that I'm going to talk to you today about. And those four men, and the first one is my dad. My dad was a truck driver. And on Saturday morning, we would get up, we'd go get his truck, we'd go down where the trailers were, he'd get his bills out, and he would get his trailer all hooked up, and then I would pull forward, he would pull forward, and I'd get in the back, and I would check his, he'd put his turn signal on to the left, and I'd motion that they were working the right one, his stop lights, and this is, you know, I'd help him. And then we'd take it back to the fuel island, and Dad was sitting there fueling, and this guy came up to him. His name was Slim Wilson. And I'll never forget this. I was about 6 years old. And Slim came up and he said, hey, Ivan, he says, do you hear about Gordon? The man's name Gordon Demons. He had had a truck wreck up in St. Louis, was paralyzed from his neck down. Dad said, yeah, man, that's a shame. Slim said, Ivan, we're taking up a collection for him. Would you like to give anything? Dad said, yeah, hold on just a second. got up in his cab of his truck. He got into his rat hole money. Some people might call it their cigarette and beer money. And he pulled out a $100 bill. This is 1970. $100 bill was a lot of money back then. It still is to me. Back then, it really was. Price of fuel in 1970 was 33 cents a gallon. So, it's a big difference between now and then. My dad handed Slim that $100 bill, and he says, Slim says, "Well, Ivan, how much do you want back?" My dad said, "I don't want anything back." And Slim said, "Ivan, it's a lot of money." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm just thankful that I'm not the one looking up at my son and my wife." See, my dad taught me to be thankful for not only what we have, but what we don't have as well. The next man is my Uncle Kenneth. I was about 13 years old, and I got home from school, and my mother, she said, "Come on, let's go." I said, "Where are we going?" She says, "We're going to go help your Uncle Kent." We got in the car, and we drove down to Oklahoma City. Now, Kenneth was married. He had five children. Three of them were his, and the oldest two were his wife's. Problem was, his wife decided she didn't want to be a wife anymore. And she didn't want to be a mother. So she went and took all their credit cards and went to Sears and Roebuck, Monkey Wards, any other place, rented a U-Haul, and bought $20,000 worth of stuff in one day. On credit. Kenneth was 6 months from having his home paid for. And Kenneth had to mortgage his house to pay those credit card bills off. But not only did she leave with $20,000 in her pocket, but she also left with another man. That really had to hurt. About 6 months later, she calls and says, "I made a mistake. I want to come home." And he sent her a bus ticket. And he let her come home. Now, I'm not going to say there wasn't any problems, but I will tell you this. They're still married today, and they live down at Iantha. See, my Uncle Kenneth taught me forgiveness, to forgive. That's hard to do. This next picture is of my Aunt Margaret and Uncle Alfred. I learned a lot from my Aunt Margaret, but I also learned a lot from my Uncle Alfred. But I didn't learn as much from him while he was alive as I did after he died. This man was bigger than life. Can't really see it in this picture. Did he have big hands? I wear a size 16 ring. His hands were 20. He wore size 24 ring. Huge, big hands. Been a farmer all of his life, and he worked hard all of his life. When they had his auction, he had 67 pair of cowboy boots. He had 18 pairs of swimming trunks. Only one had the tags off. He had 400 Western shirts. 200 of them were out of the package, and 200 of them were still in the package. And the reason why he loved his clothes, his first new clothes he ever had in his life was when he went to the circus. And he said, I'll never wear another pair of hand-me-downs again. And when he bought something, he always bought two. So when mini bikes back in the 60s came out, he bought two. One for him, one for Martin. She didn't know how to ride a motorcycle, a little mini bike. But she'd get out in the drive, and she learned to ride while he was out in the field. He bought two three-wheelers, two four-wheelers. He bought two lawnmowers. These old snapper, the old snapper with the motor in the back. He bought two of those. And he would take, and he'd start off mowing, and she'd mow right behind him, and they'd mow together. And he never saw one without the other. He was bigger than life. And when he died, at the little funeral dinner that they had there at the church, the preacher came up to me and he said, Doug, he said, come here. You and I need to go for a walk. I said, all right. We started walking. We went outside the church and we were walking there a little bit. And he said, one Saturday night, one of the members of the church had a fire. Their house burned to the ground. And he said, so on Sunday morning, he said, I did the service. And after the service, he said, hey, folks, if you know of any furniture or a house to rent or anything, let me know. We need to get these people back on their feet as soon as possible. And as he went to the back of the church, and he was shaking hands with everybody, and Alfred had that big old hand of his, stuck that hand out. Preacher said, man, he always had a good grip. The man that day, he gripped down just a little bit tighter than normal. And he said, as soon as you get through here, you come over to the house. And he said, Alfred, he said, I don't have time. Sorry, I've got to take care of these folks. And he gripped his hand just a little bit too tight. He said, I didn't ask you, I told you. Sure enough, he went over to the house. They lived on this farm, this 2,000 acre farm. Pulled in the driveway there. He said, I didn't even get out of the car. And here came Alfred. Had his shorts on with these cowboy boots. Came out. He handed him his checkbook. He says, there's 10 signed checks. This is before credit cards and debit cards. Here's 10 signed checks. If you need more, let me know. But he said, the kids need school clothes and they need Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And the wife needs everyday clothes and she needs a dress to go to Sunday. And the man needs work clothes, work boots. He needs Sunday suit to go to church with. The preacher goes, Alfred, that's great, but how much do I spend? He said, I didn't tell you what to spend. I told you what to buy. Alfred, that was just the way Alfred was. One other story about my Uncle Alfred. See, Alfred did things like that. So here he is. They had an old church. They decided to build a new church. They had outgrown the church. But they decided to do it as they got the money. They weren't going to finance it. So when they got the money to do the dirt work, they did the dirt work. And then they got the money for the concrete. And then they got it all put up. Then they got it all enclosed, except they forgot the big glass double doors that were going into the church. At that time, those double doors cost $2,000. And Alfred was the head of the building committee. And they had a special meeting. And Alfred, he had this meeting up there, and everything was going good, but they couldn't figure out how to come up with $2,000. Finally, Alfred said, "Fellas, with fuss, cuss, and disgust, this enough. We'll come back next week, and we'll somebody will come up with some way to figure out how to get these doors." So he said, "Preacher," he said, "I got something in the truck I want to show you." And he hem-hawed around. And finally, the preacher said, "Hey, I've got supper waiting on the stove." He says, "I got to get out of here." And Alfred just said, "I told you I had something to show you. Just hold your horses." Everybody else had left. Alfred reached into his truck, grabbed his checkbook, wrote a check for $2,000. Doors were paid for. Nobody was supposed to know. See, my Uncle Alfred taught me how to give. Give with a willing heart. And give and not say anything about it. So my Uncle Alfred taught me how to give. This next slide is of my mother and stepdad. My mother met my stepdad when she was married to my mother. Jack was married to a lady by the name of Betty. Betty was an angel on earth, let me tell you. I loved Betty. She had MS. She had it for 23 years and ended up passing away. My mom and dad got a divorce 18 years before Betty passed. My mom had remained single, and we were living up in Kansas City, and so they started dating. So I always knew my dad and my stepdad, and this man is as much my dad as my biological father. Now Jack, good man. Didn't say a whole lot. But Jack took care of his wife, Betty. Passed over job promotions. He could have been a lot, he worked for Leggett & Platt down there in Carthage. Could have been a lot higher on the totem pole, but he couldn't. He just couldn't leave his wife. Couldn't put her in a home. He would get her up of a morning, take care of her. He'd put her in his chair, or put her in her chair. And he'd go to work. Their daughter Karen would come over about 10, 11 o'clock, check on her. Jack would come home at noon, check on her. Their son Rob would come over about 2 to 3 o'clock, check on her. Jack would get home and fix dinner, clean the house. He took care of it. He showed me how to take care of people. But he did something for me one day after Mom and Dad were married. I was working for the wire mill down in Carthage. They came in and they said, "You need to go to the break room." The whole shift where the line I was working on. They came in and they said, "You 12 men, you don't have a job. 30 days, you don't have a job." I went out that morning. I found a job making less than half of what I'd been making. My bills were set a lot higher than what I could afford to pay at that point. It didn't take me very long to realize I needed what they term a marketable skill. And I went over to Mom and Jack's house, and I just said, I should have went to school. I should have got me, you know, a career. I should have done something. Jack said, I put all four of my kids through college. He said, you go pick out what you want to do, and I will pay for it. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. That is a heck of an offer, and I took him up on that. I went down to Crowder, and I went into their water and wastewater program. And that's what I do, is I work with chemical wastewater. That's my Monday through Friday. But you see, in school, I was at best a D student, more like a D minus student. But I went down to Crowder and I had a 4.0. See, what Jack gave me wasn't just a career. Jack gave me confidence, not only and myself, but others around me. He taught me a lot through my life. I owe a lot to this man. This man taught me a whole lot. But you see, this morning, my father taught me to be thankful for what I have and what I don't have. My Uncle Kenneth taught me how to forgive. My Uncle Alfred, how to give. And my dad, and this truly is my dad, not just stepdad. You haven't given anybody anything until you give them something that they can never repay. So my question to you this morning, who do you look up to? Who do you look forward to? And who do you chase? But I also think there's a better question. Does anybody chase you? Does anybody look forward to you? Thank you. Lord, we offer this small gesture and hope that you will turn this into a lot of love and caring and giving and use this for our blessings and our community's blessings.